It's an interesting thing to know that we are in the image of God. If we want to understand God, we have to look at ourselves because we are in His image. We are reflections. In the beginning, God says, I want to have experience. I'm going to reflect myself to an unlimited number of entities that can inhabit a created universe and solve all of its problems and work through it until this end of the universe that I have in my vision is accomplished. He's always in the process of creating more. See, the universe is expanding, and that's a principle. The universe is expanding because the mind of God is expanding. And He's always in the process of creating more stuff. And the amount that He can and will create is unlimited. And man's imagination can never catch up with God's imagination. From our viewpoint, the universe is infinite because we can't get to the end of it, because by the time we get to the end, the mind of God is already ahead of us, creating more. So we will never be able to find the end of the creations of the universe, because the imagination of the one life that inhabits the universe is ahead of our own imagination. So from our viewpoint, it will seem infinite because we can never get to the end of it. But from the viewpoint of the mind of God, it's unlimited. And this is the way we are. We are unlimited in what we can do. There's no limitations on what you can decide and then reach from that decision. And then once you reach that, you can make another decision and go higher. And then when you reach that, you make another decision, you can go higher. There's no limitation on your progress. And this is what produces joy, is when you have no limitations. When you have limitations, then you're constrained and you suffer some type of misery or complications, negativity. And by working out of that negativity and working from limitation to unlimitedness, you attain the purpose of your creation, which is joy. The end of our purpose is to obtain joy. We create a goal, we reach the goal, and we obtain joy when the goal is reached and the limitation is removed. But as long as we feel any sense of limitation on us that is going to be eternal, and this is what the Dark Brotherhood has talked to the religious people in the world of doing, is creating a limitation in the next world, that most of the people are going to go to hell, they're going to stay there forever, they're going to be limited forever. But if there's a beginning, there will be an end. And if there's any type of limitation placed on us after we die, it will eventually work through it, because we're unlimited beings. We will work through anything that limits us. But the Dark Brothers try to instill in our minds that we are limited forever. We can never be like Christ. We can never be like God. We can never be like Leonardo da Vinci. We can never be a master in one thing or another. But we can be. We can be whatever we want, because we have unlimited time to remove all limitations. And when you think that God represents the principle of being unlimited, then it's a liberating thing. It's probably the ultimate salvation, to learn to see yourself as an unlimited being. Yeah.
First miracle says something about God is not complete without you.
And
yeah. And again, it's that He rides off of our experience.
Yeah, and that's a controversial thing. Garrett just said the Course in Miracles says that God is not complete without us. But you know, a lot of New Age people teach the opposite, that we are complete in and of ourselves. We don't need anything else. But we do, really. We all need each other, and God needs each one of us. The universe is not complete with one particle missing. And part of our purpose is an extension of God, is to have an experience of God. Because one of the things that is in the design of the mind of God is to experience everything there is. And to experience everything there is, he needs, how many people we got on earth now? 10 billion? We got 10 billion people on earth having all kinds of different experiences. And you, Mindy, are having an experience unique unto yourself, unlike any other person in the universe. Does that make sense to you? When you think of it, no other person in the universe has had a life experience exactly like yours. I don't think anyone's had one exactly like mine. What do you think, Raymond? Anybody had one exactly like you?
No.
Right. We're all unique in that way. And God is a composite of every life in the universe. And your job is to have a unique experience unlike any other life in the universe. And then he can tap into that experience, and that is fruit unto him. And that's why the masters have always talked about us disciples being fruit. By their fruits you shall know them, you know. And Jesus always gives these analogies about the vines and the fruit of the vine and things like this. Because you are a piece of fruit, in a way, that God tastes. But each piece of fruit he tastes different than any other piece of fruit. And our job is to make our piece of fruit unique for God to taste and to have a good taste. But sometimes to appreciate good fruit, you need to taste some bad fruit. So sour fruit or fruit that isn't quite ripe. And some of us give God a bad taste in his mouth. But even this he has to have once in a while so he can appreciate the good fruit.
That's the good human part.
So James's job over here is to have a unique life, unique experience. Now what's interesting about the religions of the world is they are anti-experience. They teach you, well, don't do this and don't do this. Always thou shalt not. In other words, don't do this thing and don't do that. Just do the safe thing. Do the very, very safe thing. They teach against having experience. It's like the old saying goes, it's better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all. In other words, it's better to go have the experience than when it's all over, you don't have any experience one way or another. To have the experience is much more desirable, even if it's a negative experience, even if you've loved and lost. It's a lot better to have that than to not go through the emotions of falling in love, feeling what it really feels like to really go through it. It's better to go out there and have the experience for God, for yourself, for everybody you're going to influence for many years. You'll find many of the great people, if you read their biographies, had a very colorful life. Churchill is one of my favorites. You read about his life, he was just a guy aching for experience. Matter of fact, when he was a young guy, he wanted to go to war because he was just aching to fight in some war, and there was no war anywhere. There was peace everywhere. He had to go to, what was the name of that war? First war? He had some. What was the name of it?
Boer
War. That's it. Boer War. He had to find the Boer War, which nobody's heard of. Fought on some little island somewhere. But he had to go search out a war to be able to fight. I mean, he wanted the experience so bad. But he was always in to find an experience, and that experience he got trained him in such a way that when he was finally facing down Hitler, he knew how to handle him because he had gone through so many experiences that he could predict his next move. So there's nothing like experience to really learn, even if it's a negative experience. It's better to have loved and have lost than not to have loved at all. It's better to have lived, to taste of what the world has to offer than to not taste it. It's better to go take a few risks. How many people in your life have advised you not to take any risk?
Who was it, Dad? Of course, man.
Yeah, when it comes to your kids, you really are anti-risk. I mean, you know, they really make you nervous. And when I think of my kids doing what I did when I was young, it really makes me nervous. But when I look at my own youth, the times I come close to risking my life, It was worth it in a lot of ways that produces a lot of good stories here that Brian likes me to tell him. But so it's an interesting concept when you think of the principle that God had to create. He had to create because the impulse to create and to manifest experience is built into everything that lives. It's built into us so much we can't get away from it. Because even when you sleep, what do?
Dream.
You dream. And what is dreams? It's an experience. People say dreams aren't real, but when you wake up and you remember a dream, even though you weren't physically there, you had what? You still had a real experience. If you fell in love with some good-looking woman in your dream, or met the monster that chased you and made your heart beat real fast, you were still going through an experience. In other words, you create your life essence creates experience so well, it will not let you out of experience even when you're trying to sleep. You can't get away from it. And this is often called, people often call the whole creation of the universe the dream of God, so to speak. So whether it's a dream or whether he jumped into it or voluntarily or whatever, what he's doing is he's following the impulse for experience. Experience is an impulse that we cannot get away from. And there's many different religions and belief systems that teach that we will eventually leave all experience behind and just go and live in some type of bliss. But I predict this, we will never escape experience. We will go from one experience to another, and even when we're out of experience, even when, if we are in some heavenly bliss in some future age, we will be reflecting back on what? Our experiences. It's interesting, when you get old, and even people like my mom got a really short-term memory, can't remember much anymore, but she reflects a lot on her early experiences. She remembers them real clear, but she can't remember if I called her to talk to her, call her the next day, she can't remember the conversation. But she remembers those early experiences, and she tells everybody about when we used to pick fruit when I was a little kid and different things like that. But she remembers those in a lot of detail. But in a way, because my mom's lived a pretty decent life, she reflects on those early experiences, and it produces kind of a peace for her as she's living out her past few years. She's 94 now, you know, so she's living out her last few years kind of peaceful, reflecting on all those early events in her life. So we cannot escape experience. So the important thing is to make your experience interesting. Don't concentrate on righteousness so much as being interesting. Righteousness is fine. Don't create harm. But don't concentrate on being pious or particularly the most spiritual person in the world. But make your life interesting. If you make your life interesting, you'll wind up on the spiritual path. This is one of the reasons I think a lot of the Dark Brothers take the dark side is they just didn't have enough interesting experiences, so they jump into some ultimate experience for themselves in selfishness. And whereas the people that truly flavor their lives with interesting experience and still follow the path of harmlessness, this is important, to not consciously or purposefully hurt another human being or another life, but to live in as harmless as you can, but be willing to take some risk, add some good flavor to your life, have some good experiences.
Thanks for listening to the New Age Christian Synthesis podcast. If you found that what you heard rang true for you, or you're interested in finding out more, please visit J.J. Dewey's website at freeread.com.